His name is Greg Magruder, not Mark, but his precious brother, pastors Parkview Baptist Church. And so they had 30 people. Well, we had 10 people from Victory Church. So that was a major component there. The principal at Howard Bishop reached out to the Pastors Association and said, you know, we've got the paint, we don't have the labor. So they reached out to us. So people from as many different churches as found out came. And so I'm just so proud of you from Victory Church. 10 out of 30 people came from Victory Church to bless Howard Bishop Middle School. A couple little things I want to share with you before we get into our message. We have a tremendous opportunity before us right now. 2 weeks ago, Pastor Mike and some other people went up to Birmingham to the GROW conference at Church of the Highlands. And I asked Mike to interview some students from the Highlands College. So the Highlands Church, which has about 60,000 people on, I think it's 17 campuses? 18 campuses. Anyway, they have a college there. It's called Highlands College. Wonderful Bible college. So they train people for 2 to 4 years and, you know, in all kinds of different things, but it focuses a lot on building the local church. And so he interviewed a young man. He's 25 years old, and he's a good fit for us. His specialty is kids ministry, but he's learned all kinds of different things related to church growth, you know, the things that we're interested in doing, winning souls, making disciples. And he's willing to do a one-year internship at our church free of charge. Work for us, come here, and serve this church for 1 year. And what we would need to do is find a place for him to live for that year. He'll get a part-time job to pay for his food, and he has a car, so pay for his gas. And then he would work for the church for free, because we can't afford to hire him. But what a blessing he will be to bring all the wisdom and to just sow into different areas of our church in things that we just don't have time to invest in, but that we need. So I'm putting it out there for us as a church. Can anybody, and don't ask me, right? I'm not asking for a response right now, but see me after church or think about it, talk about it, go home, and let me know, could you put him up, a 25-year-old young man, single, for 1 year? Could you put him up for 1 year, and you don't have to feed him, but just give him a place to stay for 1 year? If you can do that, think about that. Let me know. That's, you know, he's ready to come, and so that's the hinge point on this deal going through. If we can get someone to house him for a year, he will come. In fact, he's coming next week just to visit. If you'd like to get to meet him, we can tell you more about him. He's been background checked. We can tell you more about him personally, but he's going to be a fine young man. So we'll put that out there for you. Also, if you would like to house him, anybody, doesn't have to be the same person, next weekend, him and his mother are coming, or possibly his father. Friday and Saturday night next week is going to come to church Sunday and sit in on the kids' church meeting to get a little more info on that and to be involved in that. So we're moving forward like this is going to happen. So if you'd like to put him up for 2 days next week, or if you'd like to put him up for a whole year, I think he's ready to come as soon as we're ready to provide him a place. Isn't that a great opportunity? So I'm believing that's going to happen. Let me give you a quick update on our move to Gainesville, which we've been talking about for over a year. We'd like to move back to Gainesville, where we started. We were 9 years in Gainesville. We've been down here for 10 years. We want to get back into the flow of where more people are, where we can win more souls, make more disciples. There's a building that we're looking at. So far, everything's coming together. Keep this in prayer. I've been giving you the acronym PUSH. Pray until something happens. Keep praying. I'm meeting. We've done our research, and the building will work. It'll work fine for us. We have to do some remodeling. But first, we're going to make a proposal to him on how it would work for us financially. So I'm meeting with him Tuesday at 1 p.m. So if you would, just be in prayer. If you got some free time, just be praying that he represents a group of owners that own it, that they would be willing to accommodate us at the rate that we want. We couldn't go in right where they're at. Asking-wise, we're going to ask for this graduated system. We have some conditions that work for us. So I'll be meeting with him Tuesday. Keep that in prayer. If that goes through, then I'll tell you what we have to do. Next Sunday, I'll let you know what happened and if he's good with it. And then it does need some remodeling. The square footage is there. It's kind of like a blank canvas. but it's open, so we have to create some kid spaces in there. It's actually the same square footage as the building that we plan to build on our land, and it's a great location. So I don't want to give you a lot of details, because then you know, if it doesn't go through, then you're real disappointed. So I'll be disappointed if it doesn't go through. But we've been disappointed before. We keep believing. Amen? We just don't give up. It's going to happen. You know, that's the key, is just never give up. So this one keeps, the dominoes keep falling on this one. It, you know, step by step, everything's coming together. So Tuesday will be the important point, so I'll let you know next Sunday. How many will pray for me and pray for that this week? All right, awesome. There are some sermon notes in your worship guide, but if you need an extra copy, the ushers have some. Raise your hand, and they will get you some. The title of my message today is Choices, Choices, Choices. Lots of choices. And there's a reason why I put three of them. You'll understand that a little better as we go on. Did you ever wonder, ask God, what on earth am I here for? I think it's a good question. I think we ought to teach that to our kids before you get a bunch of information. Why do I need this information? What am I going to do with this? Why am I here? Why am I on this planet? Where did I come from? Who made me? Why did he make me? And where am I going? These are very important questions. Now, I believe that this life is a test. It's not permanent. It's like the 9 months you spent in your mother's womb. When babies come out of the mother's womb, they don't like that. It's too much of a change. They cry. You know, they're being snatched from the environment that they were comfortable with. But God never intended for a baby to stay in that mother's womb forever. And I don't know of any mother that ever said, I'd really like to keep this baby another 9 months. Or 2 months. Every mother I've ever talked to is, I can't wait till this baby comes. It needs to come an end to that. And sometimes we think that, I'm sure the baby is thinking, this is it. I love this. It's nice and warm, and I'm going to stay here forever. But the transition happens. And that's the way we are with this life. Sometimes we think this is permanent. This is all that there is. And it's not. It's just like that time in the womb. It's preparation for something else. The 9 months is preparation to be able to handle life on earth. This life on earth is preparation for eternity. It's wrong when we think, this is it. Everything, I got to make my mark. I got to accomplish this. And it's like everything is about this life, and we forget. No. It's just like being in the womb. This is coming to an end. I'm supposed to be using this time to prepare for that time. Yeah. It's a test. It's a test. And the test involves choices. It's a test to see if we will trust God. Life is a test. Will we trust God? It's a test to see if I'll obey God. It's a test to see if I'll love God. It's a test to see if I will lay up treasure in heaven or invest everything on this earth. It's a test to see if I will be willing to serve or if I just want to be served. It's a test to see if I will give or if I'm just a taker. It's a test to see if I will love and act in love or just think about myself. It's a test to see if I will live a life of pride or humility, because the choice is there for us. It's a test. It's a test. It's a test. And when you pass the test, you get a reward. It's a test to see if I will be a peacemaker or a war maker, to see if I'll endure or if I'll quit. Life is full of choices. Choices, choices. Heaven and hell is a choice. It's a choice. Nobody will go to hell against their will. It will be their choice. It's their choices that they made that will determine whether you go to heaven. Nobody goes to heaven without. You choose heaven, you choose hell. It's a choice. Blessing and cursing, the Bible says, is a choice. I'll read you scripture on that in a minute. It's a pretty important consequence. Heaven and hell are pretty significant, aren't they? And we sometimes think, oh, well, whatever happens. No, you choose. And blessing and cursing is the same thing. Life and death is the same thing. Love or hate is a choice. Forgiveness or bitterness is a choice. Whoop, oh my. Letting it go or retaliating, showing grace or determining to take vengeance, that's a choice. It's a bad choice if you just choose to take your own vengeance. The Bible says, no, vengeance is mine. Don't do that. It's a choice, but it's a choice. A lot of people end up in a mess because they chose to take things into their own hands and get vengeance, retaliate. You know, optimism and pessimism is not in your DNA. It's a choice. It's a choice of how you look at something, whether you're optimistic or pessimistic. Hope or dread is a choice. Faith or fear is a choice. Giving or keeping and holding on is a choice. Did you know kindness or meanness is a choice? Being faithful or unfaithful, it's a choice. Being honest or dishonest is a choice. If somebody is dishonest, he just made a choice. This is what I'm going to do. This is how I'm going to act. Choices. Life is full of choices. In the very beginning of the Bible, in Genesis chapter 1, you know, God created the heavens and the earth, and he makes man. And then the first thing you see is that he puts man in a beautiful garden, and he gives him a choice, him and her, Adam and Eve. He gives them a choice. God's really into choice. He's really into freedom. He says, I got all these trees, and you can eat from any tree except this tree right here. Don't eat from this tree. Now, I find that very interesting. God easily could have made that tree, you know, 500 feet tall so you couldn't reach it. Or he could have dug a moat around it and filled it with alligators and sharks and made it, you know, very discouraging, to made it a little more challenging, difficult. You'd really want to have to go after it. Or he could have dug a big moat around it, like a 100-foot straight down cliff, 50 feet wide. No, he didn't do any of those things, did he? Because it had to be just as easy to eat it as any of the other trees, or it wouldn't be a fair choice. And that's the way it is with our life. Making mistakes is just as easy as doing the right thing. Doing the wrong thing has to be just as easy as doing the right thing. It has to be a fair choice, because he wanted them to not eat the tree because they loved him and because they trusted him and they trusted his words, and not because they couldn't do it. If they couldn't do it, it's not really a choice, is it? If you don't eat from the tree and the tree is so high you can't reach it, what's the choice? Well, I would do it if I could. No, you could. You could. And we'll find that all the messes that we've gotten into in our life has been because it was too easy to do the wrong thing, and we went ahead and did the wrong thing. And God's okay with that, giving us the ability to do that. That's why he sent his son to the cross to die, to cover our mistakes, to pay for our sins. And that's a choice in itself, to accept what Jesus did on the cross. It's a choice. He knew we would make some wrong choices, but as a Christian now, we need to think about making better choices as we go forward in life, because you get better consequences. You see, we have freedom of choice, but not freedom of consequence. Yeah, choices. God loves freedom. Freedom to choose good or evil. Freedom to make your own decisions. Christianity can never be imposed. It has to be proposed. You can't force somebody into Christianity. You have to choose that. You know, my grandparents, all four of my grandparents, came to America. For one thing, if you ask them why, they would say, freedom, freedom. We want the ability to choose. Did they not like Italian food? They loved Italian food. They loved the culture. They loved the country. But the shifting in the government was that they were making more and more decisions for the people. And they said, we want to make our own decisions. That's something that God puts. Why do people from all over the planet want to come to America? It's because we've been known for freedom. The freedom to choose. And that's a godly thing. That's what God wants. He wants to give us freedom. Freedom to fail. They were okay. My grandparents were okay with that. They didn't want a handout. They didn't want to help. They were okay with failing as long as they knew it was their fault. It was their responsibility. They wanted to just have the freedom to make it or break it. So freedom is a beautiful thing, but it comes with a cost. If you have freedom, the cost is you can make bad choices. Bad decisions. Choices, choices, choices. A reporter asked a very rich man one time, he said, sir, how did you become so successful? The man said, it's very simple. He said, by making good decisions. He said, well, how did you learn to make good decisions? He says, very simple. He says, experience. And he says, and how did you get your experience? He says, very simple, bad decisions. Yeah, bad decisions, you learn. But see, the thing is that some people never learn from their mistakes. Some people do. You can look at a successful person and to be jealous or envious, say, oh, you know, they got there by making certain decisions in their life. And I guarantee you they made a lot of mistakes along the way, But they learn from their mistakes. Problem is, sometimes we don't learn. Even as Christians in the Christian life, we keep making the same mistakes. And what I want to encourage you today is that the outcome, your future, your destiny, your trajectory depends on decisions that you're making today. It's important to make the right decisions. You say, well, I've accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, so I'm going to go to heaven. Wonderful. What about after that? From what I see in Scripture, is heaven is not an end. There's a lot going on. Remember the parable? He gave a guy one talent and two and five, and the one with five turned it into ten. He said, put him in charge. And he's talking about this life versus eternity. And he says, put him in charge of 10 cities. Stuff in eternity, there's more stuff going on. There's stuff going on. And the parable is saying, who's he going to put in charge if stuff throughout eternity? Are you preparing now to be trusted in eternity with God's precious resources, whatever's happening? Thank God for people that got saved on their deathbed. But what have they laid up in heaven? What have they shown that they're faithful for? You know, it's better to pray the prayer on your deathbed, because it's better to go to heaven than hell. But if you're alive and you got some days left on this planet, how about using these days to have an even better eternity? Jesus said, don't lay up treasure on earth, but lay up treasure in heaven. Lay up treasure in heaven. You can lay up treasure in heaven. There's something for you to do in heaven. The things you're going through in the earth prepare you for more things on this earth, but they're also preparing you for eternity. The way that you respond to stuff on earth determines your ability to handle stuff in eternity. So you have to learn from our mistakes. Freedom means you can make mistakes. You can. God didn't want to keep us from making mistakes. He could have. He didn't want to. He wanted us to have free will. That's what makes freedom, freedom. God gives us some help in making wise decisions. Jesus said, I have to go. The disciples were like, don't go. He said, I got to go because you need the Holy Spirit. Oh, that's a big help. You want some help in making decisions? Ask the Holy Spirit. He will help you. He's the counselor. He's the Greek, it's parakletos, paraclete, the one who's called alongside to help you, the counselor, the comforter, the help. He's your help in time of trouble and in making decisions, even if it's not trouble. Ask the Holy Spirit to guide you. We've been given some tools to help us make some wise decisions. So the more we put these tools in our bag, the better decisions we will make, the better equipped we'll be to handle those choices as they come up. Holy Spirit is one. Prayer is another. Reading your Bible is another. Going to church is another. Church days affect the rest of your days. Yes, it makes a big difference to go to church. I'm so glad that my dad chose to go to church every Sunday. It wasn't an option. We didn't get up and decide whether we were going to go. We went to church if we were home, if we were traveling, wherever. We always went to church. I believe that had a big effect on me and my life and coming back to the Lord. God used that. It wasn't a perfect church, but it affected me. The decision, the choice that he made, that was something I always knew. My dad was a workaholic, and it was just amazing, you know, that it would take off a few hours on the week to go to church. But that was important to him, and I knew that was significant. It's an important mark to leave on your children, that daddy goes to church. He didn't send his kids to church. He took them to church. Church is important, right? Friends help you make better decisions. The less we use God's help, the poorer decisions that we make. I can look back on my life and see when I made my own decisions, and I've discovered that I don't make good decisions. I don't without God's help for some reason, even though I think I pray, but you know, there's praying and then there's praying. There's asking for God's advice and help, and then there's just, you know, kind of asking. And I can look back when I didn't take the time to get rid of my bias and to make sure I heard from God, and I made a decision without really pushing into the Holy Spirit, then I always, always, always make the wrong decision. You say, Pastor, you're pretty dumb. Okay, I'll admit it. I'm pretty dumb. I am. I make bad decisions without the help of the Holy Spirit. That's why I've decided to always ask the Holy Spirit to guide me in my decisions. I have a poor track record, all right? So, I'm not the sharpest crayon on the box, but I figured that out, that I need help making those decisions. God wants to help us. He wants us to be free, and he wants us to make the right choice. He won't make it for us. He wants us to make the right choice, and he's given us tools to use to help us make the right choice. He doesn't want to make it for us. He doesn't want to make the choice. He wants us to use our free will, our volition, to make the right choice. So you have to be able to make the wrong choice. He doesn't ever want to force people to make the right decision. No one will be forced to go to heaven. Nobody will be forced to go to hell. Everybody has a free will. They choose freely. We have freedom of choice, but then we don't have freedom of consequences. If there are laws set in motion, just like the laws of nature, there are spiritual laws. There's a law of gravity that things are pulled to the earth at 32 feet per second per second. So if you walk off the edge of this roof, that's a choice. But now once you make that choice, the law takes over. And no matter what you believe or what you think, and I don't like the law and I don't agree with the law, irrevocably, you will be pulled to the earth at 32 feet per second per second. You have freedom of choice, but then not freedom of consequence. And so it is with moral decisions. I think I can get away with not obeying God's law, but not doing this, sinning in this area. Yes, you can do it. You have freedom of choice, but not freedom of consequence. Certain things are set in motion. Sometimes those consequences are long-lasting and very difficult to deal with. Bad decisions result in bad consequences. So God made it easy for Adam and Eve to obey. It was easy to obey. But he also made it equally easy to disobey. It was easy to obey. You just stay away from the tree. Just don't eat off the tree. Don't touch the tree. Is that hard? No, it's not. And I find the things in our life that God asks, they're not that hard. They're easy. The problem is, it's easy to not do the right thing. It's equally easy. It has to be equally easy. It was easy to not eat from the tree, but it was also easy to eat from the tree. Do you know what? It's easy. It's easy to read your Bible. It's easy. Watch this. See, I just did it. That's how easy. I just read from the Bible right there. That's pretty easy. It's not hard. It's not difficult. I just did it. Look, I did it again. It's pretty easy, right? You got your Bible? Everybody got your Bible? Pick up your notes. Read a couple words. Boom! You just did it. It's easy. Then why don't we always read? Why don't we read every day? Why don't we start our day? Because you know why? Because it's easy not to read your Bible. It's easy to read your Bible. It's also easy to not read your Bible. It's easy to go to church. It's easy to go to church. It's easy. You didn't have to walk through the prairie fighting alligators and moccasins and with a machete. No, it was easy to get here, but it's also easy to not come to church. It's just as easy to be an undercover Christian. You know, pull the covers up over your head. You ever heard that? Undercover Christian? You'll get it at lunch today. Or be a bedside Baptist or join the Church of the Inner Springs. It's easy. You didn't have to fight zombies to get here or alligators. It was easy to come. You know what? It's easy to love your neighbor. It's pretty easy to love your neighbor. Problem is, it's also easy to not love your neighbor. It's pretty easy to serve in the nursery. It's not that complicated. Betty can show you in a short period of time how to do it. The thing is, it's also easy to not serve. It's easy to not serve in the nursery. It's easy to get angry in traffic in Gainesville. Come on, is traffic getting crazy in Gainesville? Especially when the students come in. No offense to students, but they haven't learned to drive yet. But that gets pretty crazy. It's easy to get angry and to roll down your window and make some gestures, or it's easy to blow your horn. It's also easy just to let it pass. It's easy to not do that. It's easy to go down the wrong path in life. It's also easy to go down the right path in life. It's just as easy. It's just a choice, isn't it? It's just a choice. Sometimes the long way is better than the wrong way. Decisions. It's easy to yell at your kids. It's easy. It's easy to yell at your kids. I found it's just as easy to not do it. It's easy to be an usher. Dustin can take you through usher boot camp. All you have to do is 100 push-ups, 50 pull-ups, and run 10 miles. It's easy. No, it's you don't have to do any of that. It's easy to be an usher. It's also easy to not be an usher. It's easy to argue with your spouse. Did you ever find that out? It's pretty easy to get in an argument with somebody that you live with. But do you know what? It's also easy to just not get in that argument. It's easy to tithe. I've been doing it for 44 years. I never found it a struggle or hard. 10%. So easy. A caveman can do it. If you can't figure it out, we'll help you. 10%, just divide by 10, multiply by 10%. It's easy, especially easy if it's the first and not the last. You give the first. I've never struggled. It's easy to tithe, but statistically in the church, apparently it's very easy not to tithe also. It's easy to forgive. Do you know how easy it is to forgive? It's also easy, very easy to hold a grudge. It's pretty easy to be kind. It's pretty easy just to smile at somebody, but I've also found it's equally easy just to be rude and just to have an attitude and just to do that. It's just a decision, isn't it? It's easy to do good. A bunch of people, 10 people went to Howard Bishop yesterday, and they did good. Huh? It's also easy. God bless them. And even more, what did we have, 35 on serve day? We fixed up 3 houses. People did that stuff. It's easy to do good. It's also easy to do evil. It's easy to complain. Have you ever fallen into that trap? It's also easy to not complain. You know how? Watch this. I'm going to do it. You just have to keep your mouth shut. That's pretty easy, isn't it? It's easy to complain. It's easy to not complain. Watch. I did it again. It's easy. It's easy. That's it. Just shut it. It's easy. You know what I found? It's easy to get offended. In fact, you could probably get offended every single day of your life as long as there's some other person somewhere in reach of you. It's easy to get offended. It's also easy just to say, nah, I'm just going to let that one go. I'm just not going to get offended. It's easy to pray. How easy is it to pray? You're just talking to God. He's always there. You don't have to call. You don't get a busy signal. Don't push 7 or push 4 or for Espanol, push 8. It's just, that's it. You just talk. Pray. It's easy to pray. It's also easy not to pray. It's easy to be negative. It's also easy to be positive. It's easy to doubt. It's also easy to believe. It's easy to be a Christian. It's easy. Jesus did all the hard stuff. It's also easy to not be a Christian. It's easy to go. It's us, the decision. Look at this in Deuteronomy chapter 30. God brings this to bear in our hearts and minds. He's speaking to his people, and he says this, I call heaven and earth, as long as heaven and earth are in existence, this is what's going on. Heaven and earth to witness against you today. I've set before you life and death. Does those two make a difference? Is it just, it doesn't matter. Life, it's good. Death, that's fine. Are they significant consequences? Life and death, blessing or the curse, are those significantly different from each other? And then we think, oh, well, God, you know, he just, you know, he calls all the shots. He makes these things happen. Watch this. Look at this. Life and death, blessing and the curse. Look what he says. I call this set before you. So what? So what? What? Choose. So who's it up to? He put it on us. He said, I'm putting it out there. You choose. Choose life in order that you may live, you, and it doesn't just affect you and your descendants, it affects your children, it affects your sphere of influence, affects the people around you, the people you work with, the people you live with, the people you talk to, the people in your church. Our decisions affect other people. They affect us and others. How? By loving the Lord your God, by obeying his voice, by holding fast. These things you got to do. It's choices. That's a choice. Those are all choices. For this is, look at this. Whose life is it? God didn't make the decisions. He didn't choose the bad decisions that we chose. He set up the parameters and let us choose. He didn't make them eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He gave them the opportunity, let them choose. This is your life and the length of your day, the length of your days. The consequences are up to us making the choice, making the decision, that you may live in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers. See, he has a good plan. He has a good plan. He has a good plan for your life. I know the plans, Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to have a future and a hope. Those are his plans, but you got to choose. Here is, I put this in your notes. You are today the sum of all your decisions. I'm sorry, that's the truth. Sometimes we want to blame this guy, that guy's circumstance. You know, I wasn't born with a silver spoon in my mouth. This happened to me, that happened to me. But you know what? If you show me somebody that says, you know, the reason that they are where they're at today because these circumstances in your life, I will show you somebody else that had the identical circumstances that is someplace else. It wasn't the circumstances. It's how you responded to those circumstances. Ever heard of a man named George Washington Carver? Born a slave, his mother and father, he never met his father because his father was sold before he could meet him. And then he was sold, him and his brother and his mother were sold to somebody else who set them free. And then somebody didn't like that, so they came and stole the three of them, the mother and the two brothers, during the night and took them to sell them back into slavery. So Mr. Carver, who had bought them and set them free, three men stole them. He hired two men to go after them, and the two men killed the three men. They got in a gunfight, and during that gunfight, the mother got killed, but they got the two boys, and they brought them back. And then a couple years later, his older brother died of disease. You talk about someone who could have a grudge, who could be angry, who could be bitter, who could start a gang and have good, you know, reason for it and perpetrate evil. But he made a choice. Now, I don't know about your life, but if you could tell me that your beginning was worse than your father was sold, your mother was murdered, and your brother died all by the time you're 8 years old, and still turned into a person that was brought before Congress, he decided to devote his life to helping the black farmer who could grow cotton, and then it stripped the soil, so he asked God to show him a solution, and he found 318 uses for the peanut, which they've never found another use since, which would replenish the soil. But then they grew so many peanuts, there was no use for it. That's why he had to find all these uses for industry to use the peanuts so they could sell their peanuts. He also found over 200 uses for the sweet potato. And they brought him before Congress. He was supposed to speak for 15 minutes. They kept him there for 3 days. They were so amazed at this man. They said, how did you do this? He says, very simple. He said, I get up at 4:30 every morning, and I go ask God what to do. And then I go in the lab and I do it. It's a man that could be bitter. You tell me you're a result of your circumstances. I'll show you somebody else that's had the same circumstances and made some different decisions and some different outcomes. Choices, choices, choices. You are today the sum total of all your decisions. Decide today to make better choices. 1 Corinthians 13, I'm picking up where Michael Crames left off. He tagged off of my message. I'm going to tag off of his message. It says this. Three things. This is where I get choices, choices, choices. This is now faith, hope, love, abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Faith, hope, and love. You know what? Those are choices. Faith is a choice. Hope is a choice. Love is a choice. It's not an ooey-gooey feeling. The God kind of love is a decision to act for the highest good of another, regardless of personal cost or sacrifice. So that's why the chart's here. How many love the chart? I love the chart. I love the chart. Faith, hope, and love. Okay? So these are all choices. And the choice you make is either faith or fear. It's a choice. Hope or dread. You look at the future and you go, you have hope, or you no, ain't going to work out too good. There's a choice. It's a choice. Everyone's a choice. Love, or you think the opposite of love is hate. It's not. Hate is the byproduct of selfishness and pride. The opposite of love is selfishness, because love is giving. Love is patient, love is kind, it seeketh not its own. That's the root of love. It seeketh not its own. The opposite of love is selfishness. And if you have enough love, I gave you the story about how I had to overcome the fear of public speaking, and I used the scripture, and I did that, and Michael told a similar story, and that's all true. But the root of it was pride, because I didn't I was afraid of what people would think of me. So you can overcome it with the right scriptures, but eventually you keep living and finding out it's, they all come down to two roots that we'll look at in a second, but these are decisions. Faith is a decision, fear, hope, love. They're all decisions, and here's the decision you have to make, faith or fear. Well, how am I going to look at this situation, faith or fear? And faith comes, faith is a substance of things hoped for. So first you start with hope. Hope or dread? How do I look at the future? Am I hopeful or am I dreading the future? Okay, that's going to determine whether I have faith or fear. Okay, faith, work it through love. It's all dependent on love. It's love or selfishness. Am I just thinking about myself? The greater love has no man than this, and he laid down his life. Would I be willing to die? So then the next thing is, okay, that's the opposites. Okay. The two big enemies are selfishness and pride. All right, these three in Genesis chapter 3, the woman looked at the tree and said it was good to eat, it was pleasing to the eye, and able to make one wise. Selfishness and pride. To apply to what she wanted, and then arrogance. Great shot. I trained her to do that. She's good at that. You got to move up to ducks next. If I can just get you to get ducks that well, we'll be doing good. Okay. Wasp killer. Selfishness. Our two big enemies are selfishness and pride. That's just the way it is. Every one of us. Our enemies are our own selfishness and our own pride. Now, the opposite of selfishness is love. It's the opposite. What can I get? Love is what can I give. The opposite of pride is humility. Pride is to think more highly of yourself than you ought, and humility is to have a humble estimation of yourself. So the opposite, talking about decisions, choices, all right? It just doesn't happen. You choose. You choose to walk in this direction. The opposite of selfishness is love, and the byproduct, what ends up, the proof, the opposite of selfishness is love, and the proof is it works itself out. Faith without works is dead, right? I got to have a corresponding action. The proof of my selfishness has turned into love is that I serve. That's the proof. And interestingly enough, it's the same proof for pride. The proof of my that I don't have pride, that I've turned into humility, is that I'm willing to serve. They end up at the same place. So serving, it lets us know whether we're winning the battle against selfishness and pride is if we serve somebody, somewhere, somehow. And I can tell you right now, the best place to serve is God, the kingdom of God, and the people of God. That's what he wants us to do. It's a decision. These are decisions. Matthew 23:11 says, the greatest among you shall be what? The bishop, the pastor, the great speaker, the greatest among you shall be Peter. No, it's not what he said. Jesus said, the greatest among you shall what? This is the proof. The greatest is somebody who's conquered selfishness and pride in their life, and we see it by them serving. Either way, the greatest is the servant. We end up serving. I'm talking about taking an honest estimation of our life. I can say I'm growing in God, I'm doing great, I'm singing good songs, I'm getting better and better. The true test, if Jesus was here, would say, where are you serving? Who are you serving? Because the greatest is the servant. So Genesis 3, I mentioned this, the woman saw the tree was good for food, delightful to the eyes, that's selfishness. So I'll put those two in one category. And able to make one wise, that's pride. That was the woman's problem. It's brought out again in 1 John chapter 2. It says, don't love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father's not in him. I might be a Christian, but I love the world. I don't love the Father. I might go to heaven, but I might not be happy with what I've sent up on ahead in heaven. For all that is in the world, the lust of the eye. Oh, this sounds vaguely familiar to, or actually very familiar to Genesis chapter 3. It's the same problem. For all that is in the world, lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Same three things. And I'll just put those two. The two lusts are selfishness, and then you got pride. So it's selfishness. It's not from the Father, but it's from the world. Selfishness and pride are our arch enemies. The reason I couldn't speak publicly was if I had enough love in my heart, I wouldn't care what people thought, I would have gone up and spoke. And if I didn't have pride to worry about what people thought of me, I'd have gone up and spoke. The real root of every one of our problems is these two things, if we'll be honest. You can't blame it on somebody else, something else. Well, you know, it's just the way I was never taught that. It was just it was selfishness and pride in me. And I learned to overcome that fear, but it's been a long journey. I'm still on that journey, overcoming selfishness and pride. I am not done with this battle right here. I'm not done. And as long as you're on this planet, you're going to keep fighting. And if you are not right now actively engaged, and you can tell me how you are fighting selfishness and pride in your life and how selfishness and pride are at work in your life, you're not even in the battle. You're not even fighting the fight. If you can't tell me today the struggle that's going on in your life every day in prayer and with God, every morning when you get up and say, God, I hate this selfishness in my life. I saw it yesterday when I did this, when I said that. I see that selfishness. That's what David did every day. He said, search me, Lord, and show me the harmful ways. If you're not getting up every morning and finding selfishness and pride in your life, then those both are winning the battle in your life. You got to be actively engaged in this battle because they are arch enemies. That's our nemesis. That's our Achilles heel. That's what's going to pull us down. And if we give in, we lose. Selfishness is a choice. It's a choice just not to fight it. It's just the way I am. And modern, too many things in modern society tell you just that's the way you are. Just give in to it. No, find out where it came from and how much of it is selfishness and pride. And don't give in to it. Pride is a choice. And the choice is to stop resisting and stop fighting and just let it have its way. You can't ever make that decision. How do you resist selfishness and pride? In your notes, five things you have to constantly do without quitting. You never arrive. You never stop. You have to get up every day. I get up every day and I read my Bible. I read the Word. The Word is so powerful. Five things you have to do constantly and without quitting. Number one is pray. Talking to God. It's easy. The next thing you have to do is read your Bible every day. Every day. Man, and sometimes I think, oh, well, you know, I know what to do. I'm gonna go. Nope. I'm gonna read. As soon as I open it, read it, it's like, oh man, yeah, I needed that. Whoo, that cut me to the quick. I needed that. You gotta make it. It's easy to read your Bible. It's easy not to read your Bible, but you have to do it consistently and constantly. The third thing is church. You just make a decision, go to church. Church. You don't get up and pray about whether to go to church or see, check, you know, do I feel like going to church? You just make a decision. You just make a decision to read your Bible. You make a decision to pray every day. You make a decision to go to church. We're going to go to church. But hair lips the devil. We're getting up. We're going to church. Yeah, another thing you got to choose to do is give. I don't find out if I feel like giving. I've made a decision. The first time I read the word tithe in the Bible, I was reading in a Bible study, and I called it tithe. And they said, that's not tithe, that's a tithe. I said, what the heck is that? And they told me what it was. I went right home and figured out what I owed God. And I've tithe. You just make a decision to do it. Give. And the fifth thing you need to do that sometimes we overlook, but reading that scripture, the greatest among you is a servant, is you need to serve God's people. Amen. Matthew 25. Jesus talking, and the people, they said this, when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, the extent you did it to one of these brothers of mine. Look around. These are brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ. The extent that you did it to these brothers of mine, even the least of them, even the newborn, even the one that's not quite sure and is just kind of hanging out there and doesn't look like they got it, even to the least of them, you did it to me. Serve God's people. Serve God's house. One more verse, Matthew 24. So important. Look at this. Who then, Jesus speaking, who then is the faithful and sensible servant? What is a sensible person? It's somebody who makes good decisions. You make good decisions. You're faithful. You're committed. You're not going to quit. You go. Who then? Jesus is asking this question. Who then? I'm asking that today. God, on my sabbatical, he brought this home to me in a way I'd never even seen it before. But I'm gonna bring it to you. Who then in this room, who can we find faithful and sensible, what? Genius? Theologian? Knows everything? No. Servant. That's what God's looking for. That kills pride. That proves love. That goes against selfishness. This is what Jesus is looking for. This is what he's looking for, folks. Not big shots. He's just looking for servants. He's just looking for who then, he's asking Jesus, who then is the faithful, sensible servant whom his master put in charge of his household, the church, the kingdom of God, his household, to give them their food at the proper time. Blessed! Want to be blessed? Yes. Choose to serve God's kingdom, God's people. Blessed is that servant, who? The faithful, sensible servant that's serving his brothers and sisters. Blessed is that servant whom his master finds so doing when he comes. Not that they did it for a few years and got tired and got burnt out and quit. And I didn't get paid. I didn't get rewarded. I didn't get thanked enough. They're so doing. They just keep on doing it. They just keep on doing it. They just keep on doing it. Don't grow weary. A lot of you have been serving a lot of years. Some of you have been serving a lot of years. And there's a temptation to just like, I'm going to let somebody else do it for a while. No, he wants to find you so doing it. I mean, I kind of went through that on sabbatical. It's like, maybe it's time for somebody else to do this. And this is what he brought to me. It's like, I'm going to find you doing it when I come. I'm going to find you doing it when I come. I want to find you on the beach. There's nothing wrong with going to the beach. But the core movement, I don't want to find you out, you know, gone. I want to find you doing it. You need to recreate. You need to refresh. You need to go on vacation. You need to take time off. You need to exercise. Yes, of course, balance, balance, balance. But the core of your life, also in the fabric of your life, there has to be some serving. I can't say I've served long enough. Let somebody else do it. No, he said when he comes back, he wants to find you doing it. Blessed is that servant whom he finds so doing when he comes. And then it says, truly I tell you, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. There's a reward for serving God. But this is what he's looking for. Choices, 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 decisions, decisions, decisions. Choice, three choices. You got to walk in those three. Faith, hope, and love. We have to keep looking at our life, say, am I in faith? Am I in hope? Am I in love? And I'm serving. God wants to bless us. Let's just pray for a minute. Just bow your heads. And I just want to tell you, God wants to bless you. God has more in store for you than what you have now. God wants to give you more. But we have to choose the God first life. Yep, and you never quit. You choose the God first life. It's not the God first life for 10 years or 50 years. That's it. It's the God first life until he comes back. You have to choose to serve. You don't serve until such and such a time. When he comes back, he wants to find us serving. We have to choose to give. You don't give for a while and then quit. When he comes back, we have to be a giver. We have to choose to love. We don't, well, I'm all loved out. That's it. No, you just have to keep on, keep on. You have to choose to love and never quit love. Maybe you've got weary. Maybe there's somebody you're loving, you're praying for, you're reaching out to, and you're about like, that's it. That's it. I'm not, that's it. No, no. Don't stop. Don't quit. Don't stop loving. Don't stop giving. Don't stop serving. If you stop, you'll stop right before your breakthrough is ready to come, right before he comes, and he wants to find you so doing. Don't stop. You have to choose to forgive. You say, well, I've forgiven that person so many times. Don't stop. Just keep forgiving them. Come on, I'm talking to somebody. Don't stop forgiving. Don't stop forgiving. Don't stop. Just keep on forgiving. Don't stop fighting your fears. Don't stop. Keep fighting. Don't stop choosing love over selfishness. Don't stop. Just do the right thing, make the right choice. Life is a test. I just want you to pray right now and see if God would speak anything to you that maybe you gave up on. Maybe you gave up on somebody. You said, you know what? That's it. I prayed for them. I've reached out to them. I love them. And that's it. I just want to encourage you to revisit that with the Lord and say, you know, what if God gave up on you? What if God gave up on me? No, he never gives up on you. And there's people that don't give up on them. You have to keep loving. Maybe you quit serving. Maybe you got tired. You got wore out. You served and you served and you served and you said, you know what? Whatever, you had a reason. The devil is going to try to get you to quit. Maybe you need to revisit that and say, hey, am I doing what I can do? Am I serving? Am I using my gifts and my talents and abilities? Am I serving God's people to the full extent, to the best that I can? Is there a place I could serve? Is there a need where the church needs me? And I've just made a decision. Enough is enough. I'm just pulling back. Blessed is that servant whom he finds so doing when he comes. God, just speak to every one of us as decision, a decision to make that will affect our eternity. A decision that will affect our eternity. Are you laying up treasure in heaven? Is there something you're not doing? Is there a gift you're not developing? Is there a talent you're not fully using and investing in the kingdom of God? Right now, I got a very important question with every head bowed and every eye closed. If you died tonight, would you go to heaven? Talk about choices, talk about decisions. Is there anybody here that you would say, I'm not sure. If you died tonight, would you go to heaven? You say, I don't know. I think so, hope so, not sure. Wow, that's a pretty important consequence to not be sure about. You say, yeah, but does anybody know? I mean, can you know? Yeah, the Bible says you can know that you have eternal life. How do you get eternal life? Someone asked Jesus that question, and here's what he said. He said, you have to be born again. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian. Having Christian parents doesn't make you a Christian. You have to be born again, which is a very simple decision. You just surrender your life to Christ, ask him to forgive your sins, and he does it, and he comes, lives inside of you, makes you into a new person. That's how easy it is. Maybe you've never done that, or you might be here today. You say, I did that in the past, but today I'm really not where I want to be with God, and I want to get back on track with God. If either one of those two applied to you, every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm not going to ask you to stand up, but today is a fresh start in some way in your life, and you're making a decision. Maybe it's a decision to serve. Maybe it's a decision to make Jesus the Lord of your life. Just slip up your hand right now. Thank you. Anybody else? Today is a fresh start, a new day. You want to be sure if you die tonight, you go to heaven, or you want to get back on track with God. Anybody else want to join those? I'm just going to lead you in prayer. Thank you. Okay, I'm going to lead you in prayer. Everybody pray this prayer with them. Dear Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on a cross for my sins. And I believe God raised you from the dead. I'm a sinner, and I need a Savior, and I can't save myself. Dear Jesus, please forgive all my sins. Come live on the inside of me. Make me into a new person. Wherever you lead me, I'll follow. From this day, forevermore. Right now, I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is my Lord. Give the Lord praise. People prayed their prayer, meant business with God. That's awesome.